Good morning.
Good to see you in the house of the Lord in person and also online on this second Sunday in Advent. Do you like to wear clean clothes or dirty clothes? Oh, thank you. Most of us would say clean clothes, right? Clothes do get dirty, and for some, even a small stain is enough to have those clothes get cleaned. Now, is a small sin in need of cleaning, or just the big sins we commit? Right? Thankfully, we know that sin is sin, and so all sin is in need of cleaning, but not any cleaning agent will work. Thankfully, we have come to know what is the cleaning solution that does work. And that's what we're building on this morning. As we move into Advent moment number two, the Lord shows that you are worth cleaning, that is, saving. God be praised for this gift. I invite your attention now to our invocation in the middle of page 3. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty.
My soul yearns to give thanks for the courts of the Lord.
Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you.
There is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
O Lord Almighty, blessed are they who trust in you.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. Please stand. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him.
This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us.
God invites us to come into His presence and worship Him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask Him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed You in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve Your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. We pray, stir up our hearts, O Lord, to prepare the way for Your only Son. By His coming, give us strength in our conflicts and shed light on our path through the darkness of this world.
Through Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated.
Gather.
reading from Holy Scripture on the second Sunday in Advent comes to us from the prophet Malachi, the third chapter. The world of all time, especially today, needs to take this cleansing agent seriously. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. The word of the Lord. We have been given a secret, and this is one that we are not to keep to ourselves. A reading from Holy Scripture, 1 Corinthians 4. This then is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. The word of the Lord. Please stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Luke, the third chapter, pointing out the fact that we have a salvation which is rooted in forgiveness. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iatira and Trachonitis, and Licinius, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priest of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated for our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in great abundance, and this is possible because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose birth we look forward to celebrating once again, as we also realize that that birth ushers in a whole new world waiting for us when he returns a second time. We want to focus our attention this Advent Sunday back on the words of the prophet Malachi. We hear again, but who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, the cleansing of cleansing agents. And praise God for that. There are many ways this life here on earth could be summed up. One example, people are born, people die. But there's a more significant way to sum up life here on earth, and not just keeping this life here on earth in mind. This summary is really built on two key themes. Those themes are this: there is nothing new under the sun, and God keeps His promises. As we delve into the words before us from the prophet Malachi, we see these two themes being played out, that there is nothing new under the sun and that God keeps His promises. And not just in the days of Malachi, but also in our day. The evidence is there for these two themes. Today's Advent moment is this, which is to lead us through these words of Malachi. The Lord shows that you are worth saving. Now, brothers and sisters, we should not consider this to be an automatic, because there is nothing in us human beings that deserves to have God's favor toward us. And yet, that's what God shows toward us. He reminds us, to help drive this truth home, that He shows His favor toward us, not because of who we are, but rather because of who He is. And so He starts out with words of law to point out our sins, our need for His salvation. He makes us feel uncomfortable, and it's for our good. But this is nothing new either, because in the days of Malachi, God sent prophets to make the people feel uncomfortable. The context of Malachi, as you recall, is the people had returned after the Babylonian captivity, and one of their main charges, which they even received money from the king of Persia to do, was to rebuild the temple. And how was that project going? Years later, it was still undone. But what was getting done? The people's homes were all built up and their closets were lined with cedar. And so the Lord sends prophets to the people and says, "What gives? Do you forget what happened to you? Why you ended up in captivity in the first place? You and your forefathers, and how you were released, and what your primary charge was to be? Your priorities were all messed up." But that wasn't the worst of it. The priests who were to be offering sacrifices to the Lord God on behalf of the people and to keep the people's priorities in check, well, they were doing a lousy job of it. And so the Lord sends prophet to call them out as well. Because the priests were content with accepting three-legged animals for the sacrifices. And so the prophet reminds them, try offering that three-legged animal as payment of your taxes. Would the governor accept that? No way. Why should the Lord God, the creator of the universe, the provider of your salvation, who freed you not just from earthly captivity, but spiritual captivity, why should He receive nothing but the best? And then, to top it off, not only was God a lower priority, not only were the priests neglecting true worship and holding the people accountable, the audacity of God's people to call Him unfair. You can almost still hear the lightning bolts coming down. God, it's not fair that I am ill and these other people remain healthy. God, it's not fair that my checkbook is at zero while theirs is at a plenty. Now again, our human side can see, why does it seem like the wicked seem to prosper? They seem to be the healthy ones. Why the believers seem to struggle? But God says, that's not how you measure fairness. Again, keep in mind what you believers have that those unbelievers don't have. And that God shows kindness to the just and to the unjust. And while life may not seem fair from our vantage point, it is fair from His vantage point. And that's what matters. Because again, if you want to talk unfair, what did Jesus remind the people then and reminds us today of what took place? He sent His Son to bear the burden that we should have taken upon ourselves. No different, though, 400 years later when John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, was sent to the people to make paths straight, to call out sin. Sin was just as evident then as it was in the days of Malachi, nothing new under the sun, a whole lot of self-righteousness going on. And this amongst the religious leaders of the day who claimed to be familiar with the Old Testament prophecies, who should have known that they had a need, a deep need for the Savior and God's promise to be fulfilled. But what had happened? We don't need no stinking Savior. We got ourselves. Our own works are good. Good enough. And God, if you're not happy with that, well, we don't need you. And so John the Baptist calls him out. You brood of vipers. Jesus calls him out. You whitewash tombs. You pay all this lip service, but your hearts are far from me. And then John the Baptist, right? Recall he's talking to people of various backgrounds. Soldiers, for example, stop exhorting the people. Tax collectors, stop cheating the people. Prostitutes, stop prostituting. Drug addicts, stop taking drugs. Calling them out on their sins. Words they needed to hear. Words which made them feel uncomfortable, but for a reason. And then there were sins of sex and violence going all over the place. John the Baptist even lost his head because he called out such acts. Nothing new under the sun. Sin and it being called out to make people feel uncomfortable for a reason. And same today. Sin is very prevalent today in our day. It needs to be called out. People need to feel uncomfortable for a reason. The sins that were going on in the days of Malachi, the sins that were going on in the days of John the Baptist, those are still the same sins that are taking place today. And talk about justice. Human beings don't know how to carry out justice. We've turned evil into good and good into evil. We allow businesses to be robbed and don't bat an eyelash. We let people out of prison. And statistics show that within 48 hours, they're committing another crime. And they're the good people. What has happened to our society? And where's the church? Oh, we got ice skating rinks. But where's the law? Where's the gospel? Where's what we need to make people feel uncomfortable in their sins for a reason? The law was needed then, and the law is still needed today. God's not playing around. Sin comes with consequences. And the ultimate consequence is not just physical death, it is eternal separation from God. And so, yes, God is going to make us feel uncomfortable because He doesn't want us separated from Him for all eternity. He wants all people to come to a knowledge of the truth about our sins and about His salvation so that we can spend eternity with Him. So that now, even here on this earth, we can enjoy the blessings that God has in store for us. God has blessings before us in and every day. He even says, "Blessed are they who hear the word of God and obey it." Who put it into practice? Why isn't God blessing us more according to our definition? Well, what are we doing to deserve His blessings, which we don't deserve anyway? We shouldn't be breaking the law and expect to receive good things. Breaking the law comes with consequences. And if we don't nip breaking the law in the bud, the consequences will get greater. And people will become even harder in their sin. And so the Lord makes us feel uncomfortable. So that the impurities of sin can be dealt with. They need to be exposed. Would you drive over a bridge that you know has been built by watered down concrete? No. Why build your faith on watered down doctrine? On those who neglect the teaching of the law. Because what happens when we neglect the law, we then pretty soon forget our reason for the gospel. The Lord knows that about us, because there's nothing new under the sun. And so He makes us feel uncomfortable for a reason. And that reason is this. The Lord shows us time and time again that you, dear friend, all of us, are worth saving. Not because of who we are, not because of what we did, but because of His mercy. The mercy He revealed to the people in the time of Malachi, the people He revealed through His forerunner, John the Baptist, the mercy He reveals through people like you and me today. So that when people are feeling uncomfortable in their sin, they know where to turn and to take that uncomfortable feeling to God and His mercy. And that's important because, as Malachi points out, who can endure the day of God's judgment? On our own, we cannot. There is not enough self-righteousness in us or in the world that can endure God's judgment. But God said, you're worth saving. Not because of what you do, but because of what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to keep my promises. And at the heart of that promise is Jesus coming in flesh to take our sins upon Himself, to live that perfect life that God demands and to credit us with it. And then to take that perfect life to the cross. Christmas connects us to the cross, where all of our sins have been paid for. All those uncomfortable moments can be left there at the cross, because our sins have been paid for in full, not to be brought up against us again, and not a license to sin further. God's promise kept at Christmas flows beautifully into that promise kept on Good Friday and then on Easter Sunday. And because He lives, we too shall live. So who can endure God's judgment? You can, by the grace of God, because He said you are worth saving through Jesus, the Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. And because of Jesus, the Savior, your life can be straightened out. You don't have to live in your sinful ways. You don't have to live separated from God now and into eternity. Because Jesus has brought us together with God. He has restored that broken relationship by what He has done. Christmas is a promise kept. Christmas is a reuniting with God the Father. And Christmas just keeps on building to Good Friday and Easter, and eternal life. The work of Jesus has made this possible. The work of Jesus has purified us. And that's what we needed to be, purified before God the Father. And it's only the blood of Jesus that can purify us from our sins. And it has. And so give thanks for this cleansing agent, Jesus and His blood and His righteousness, which enables us to be blameless before God and keeps us blameless before God. John 3 sums this up beautifully. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. God gives our life purpose and meaning, significance, through Jesus, the greatest example of his unconditional love. And we who by God's grace have been called to believe in him are enjoying the benefits of that relationship, of that work of Jesus now already. Forgiveness of sins, a new way of looking at life and living life, and the gift of eternal life to hold on to. We don't stand condemned before God, but there are plenty of people who are standing condemned before God. And so this is where God gives us that secondary purpose, not only to glorify him, but to also go with his message of law and gospel. Go and make people feel uncomfortable, but doing so out of love, so that you can share that great message of love. Jesus cares about you so much that he came to make sure that you were clean and saved. What a gift. No ordinary baby in that manger, but the King of Kings and Lord of Life, who is life. And so we are valuable to God because of Jesus. And because of Jesus, then, we want others to realize that they are valuable to God as well and can have that same gift that we are able to enjoy. But many people, well, they like their life of sin. And they don't want to be uncomfortable hearing about their sin. So then they make you feel uncomfortable by trying to help them, pointing out their sin, and pointing out their Savior. Well, may God, the Holy Spirit, keep you firm and steadfast as people reject your attempts to share law and gospel with them, with the goal of getting them uncomfortable so that they can be comfortable in Jesus for time and eternity. Continue to be the salt and light that God has called us to be. Be like John the Baptist, pointing out that message of repentance, and at the heart of that repentance is forgiveness. Be that messenger. Thankfully, God does keep his promises. Advent points that out as it leads us to Christmas and all that follows. Don't then, dear friends, treat lightly the fact that the Lord has shown that you are worth saving. And because of this, we need to see our sins for what they are, even if it makes us feel uncomfortable, so that we can clearly see who Jesus is and why that matters. For you are worth saving. The Lord says so. And he backed it up. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen. We join in the confession of faith. It's found for us on page 9. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven,
was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Amen. We join together in the thank offering prayer towards the top of page 10. We pray, Lord of all good, our gifts we bring you now. Use them your holy purpose to fulfill. Tokens of love and pledges they shall be, that our whole life is offered to your will. Father, whose bounty all creation shows, Christ, by whose willing sacrifice we live, Spirit, from whom all life and fullness flows, to you with grateful hearts ourselves we give. Almighty God, we praise and honor your holy name for your numerous acts of love and mercy on behalf of your people. We rejoice in the knowledge that he is our advocate before your throne, and that he intercedes for us in all our needs. Give to all who serve your holy church a full measure of your grace, that Christ may be confessed, his cross uplifted, and his gospel declared as the only way to eternal life. Bless all parents that they may be wholesome examples to their children.
May they teach their children to love you, to practice virtue, to desire to pursue instruction in your word, and to serve your church and all people.
Hear the prayers of all who are afflicted. In the quiet hour of the night, when they are weighed down with pain, loneliness, and anxiety, bring them strength and hope by assuring them that your love endures, your power overcomes, and your presence remains constant. O God, by your Spirit, teach us carefully and deliberately to weigh in our hearts the matter of Christian giving, that our gifts ever reflect the great debt of love we owe you. Lord, continue to bring medical assistance and healing to Fumiko Stark, heart-related, and to Rich Baker, work injury. While their current needs are different, both are in need of the healing you provide, and so we continue to commend them to your care for such, along with the assurance of your promise that you never leave nor forsake your own, and so strengthen their faith to endure their current circumstances. We thank you, Lord, for those who are able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. Continue to shower them with your blessings. And now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. As we leave this hour of worship, we give all glory to Jesus.
To him be praise and honor, glory and power, now and forever. Amen.
And we pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
As we turn to the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Now may this body which was given for you and this blood which was shed for you strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go and live for him in peace and in joy and with confidence, for you are at peace with God. Amen. We pray. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world. that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Morning again. Just a reminder of the Connect cards. If you haven't filled one out yet, please take the time to do so. Bible studies taking place today. We're continuing our look at Martin Luther and his impact, not only in the world then, but also still today by the grace of God. Just a note, we will not be having a Bible study next Sunday, given the Christmas service being put on by our elementary school. And note that next Sunday, the early service is starting at 8:30. This is not a new thing. 8:30, and then also the second service remains the same time, 10:45. So again, to accommodate that later start, there will not be Bible study next week. That doesn't mean, though, you can't hang around and have fellowship. In fact, school parents are encouraged to hang around. Our pause committee will be having snack and drink available for them in our multi-purpose center, so you can get to know the parents. Mission Box Sunday, LWMS Mission Box, so please take note of that. Thank you again for your generous support that we can continue to proclaim the gospel, a message of repentance and forgiveness, not just here, but across the world. River City Chorale, their concert is today at 4 o'clock. Please see the weekly news for a disclaimer, though, regarding if you're planning to attend that concert. You're invited to do so, but just again, note that they have certain guidelines that they're asking people to follow if they attend. You can pick up your Advent wreath for Christmas in the library. Thanks to all those who helped put those together yesterday. A fun day to be had, right? Right, Tom? Correct, right? So if you ordered one, you haven't received it yet, you can go to the library and pick that up. Midweek Advent number 2 coming up this Wednesday. Note again the service time, 6:30 is our worship service, and 5:30 supper begins in the multi-purpose center. Thank you for the group in advance for putting that meal together. Other than that, see the weekly news for other activities that are taking place here at the church during this month. Have a great day in the Lord. Thank you.
obviously, it's not.